Exalt you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, no one like you. Your name is above every name. You are the Creator. You are the one who died on the cross and shed your sinless blood for our sins. You rose from the dead the third day. You've made the way for forgiveness, for eternal life. Lord, you made the way that we may escape the damnation of hell that we deserve for our wickedness and our evil and our sins. We are grateful today, Lord, for your grace and mercy that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we can stand for your word, for what the Bible says is truth, knowing that it is inspired and written by you, that we can stand against the darkness and the lies and the deception of this evil age and all of Satan's powers. We can stand against it, take up our cross, and follow you, Jesus, because of your blood and your power and your name. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church. Got a couple little things to handle this morning. First of all, everybody, I want everybody it's not today, but it's tomorrow. But we want to, everybody, just wish Kevin a happy birthday. He's getting old. He's getting old, but he's keeping up. And anyway, keeping up by the skin of his teeth. Well, you hand that to him, but that's happy birthday. We love you, Kevin. And listen, I want to say this. I probably shouldn't. I'll probably get in trouble because I get in trouble for everything just about that I say. But you know what? Anybody out there, I know there are people that give to this ministry, and we appreciate it greatly. It helps us do everything that we need to do. But, you know, anybody out there wants to bless Kevin, you're welcome to bless Kevin. So I'll be sure he gets it. So anyway, he works hard. He makes a lot of this happen. So I just, you know, want y'all to know that because I put a lot of heat on him, a lot of pressure on him, but he comes through 99% of the time. And I say 99% because, you know, the devil's always going to fight us, brother. Always going to fight us, all right? Hallelujah. Well, this morning, hope you get your Bibles out. We're going to go through some things kind of disturbing. I'm not even going to get into, you know, I posted on Facebook this morning just when I thought the level of crazy, I'd reached the limit of the level of crazy people, right? It just gets crazier. But that's not what this is about this morning. So let's, I guess I need to, I'm the one that needs to start this, right? I'm here. All right. I've just entitled this morning, and I guess I need to, there we go. All right. I just entitled this morning, The Stumbling Blocks, Causing the Little Ones to Stumble. I've seen some disturbing things, saw a disturbing article my wife showed me this weekend, and I just got up early, I was praying last night, praying this morning, and I just heard the Lord just say, okay, it's kind of time to address this. After this morning, now, you know, and I know there's a lot of people watching, I don't know anybody in here that almost it's left, but I'm going to tell you, if this doesn't convince us that, as Christians that we don't need to be in the public school system, it will today. This was just mind-blowing, and this just happened. This happened in Florida, one of the things we're going to address this morning, but we're going to go through quite a bit. We'll deal with some of the Satanism and witchcraft that's starting to take over our kids, and also the whole, you know, what is it, LGBT issue that's going on here, and we're going to look at it from the scriptures. So, because I'm going to tell you, these are stumbling blocks before our kids, the stuff that's going on here. Now, let's read these verses here. We'll read these verses first. These are Jesus speaking, Matthew 18:6, Mark 9:42. Here's what he said. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now, you know, recently we've had a certain individual talk about that, you know, there is no hell, and that if you die in your sins, you just cease to exist. Well, Jesus is talking about here that, you know what, if you offend one of these little ones, you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be worse. It's going to be worse for you than just dying. It's going to be worse for you than just dying in a terrible way. It's going to be bad. That's why there is a hell, folks. That's why there is eternal damnation, eternal punishment, particularly for what people have done to little ones. It's turned, either damaged them spiritually, mentally, emotionally for life, or turned them away from knowing their creator, Jesus Christ, through lies and deception and evil. But I just want you to know, here's Mark 9:42. Jesus said, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Offend here in the Greek is the Greek word scandalon, and it means to set a trap, to cause to stumble, okay? So Jesus was very clear here. Don't make the little one stumble. Don't teach anything. Don't preach anything. Don't do anything that causes them to stumble and be trapped in Satan's traps. But folks, let me tell you, we live in a time where it is outrageous. Now, this just happened a few days ago. These are two little girls, 11 and 12 years old, And I checked this to make sure it wasn't fake news. Everybody was picking this up across the board, both conservative news sites and liberal sites. But Satanist middle schoolers plan to kill 15 students and drink their blood, cops say. They allegedly brought butcher knives to school and wanted to kill as many students as possible and then scatter their remains at the school entrance. These were two little girls. Two Florida girls accused to plan to kill classmates and drink their blood. The alleged plot, they wanted to hide in the bathroom so that they could get smaller students that they could overpower. As you can see here, these are the knives and things they brought to school to kill, to drink the blood of their fellow students and to hack them in pieces. All right. The first question all of us should ask is, where in the world did they get this idea from? Oh, and it went on to say, if you read the article, it goes on to say that they wanted to worship Satan. It gets even worse. But here's HuffPost, Florida middle school girls plotted to kill classmates, drink blood. Listen to that. Police caught an 11 and 12-year-old with multiple weapons and say they were willing to drink blood and possibly eat flesh. Here we go. Two middle school girls in Central Florida brought knives to school in a foiled plot to kill classmates, cut them up, drink their blood before killing themselves. Oh, yeah, they plan to kill themselves at the end of this. The two girls, ages 11 and 12, were armed with knives Tuesday at Bartow Middle School before they were caught, according to arrest affidavits released by the Bartow Police Department. No one was hurt, thank God. The article goes on to say, listen to this, the plan was to kill at least one student, but we're hoping to kill anywhere from 15 to 25 students, the affidavit said. Quote, killing of all these students was in hopes it would make them worse sinners, ensuring that after they committed suicide, they would go to hell so they could be with Satan. This is what these little girls said, 11 and 12 years old, right? Detectives said the girls devised the plot while watching scary movies at one of their houses over the weekend. Now, I tend to think it probably runs deeper than that. But this is what it says. The alleged plot was foiled when administrators searched for them after they didn't show up for class Tuesday. The administrators found them in the bathroom stall and brought them back to their offices where they found the girls in possession of four knives, a pizza cutter, a knife sharpener, and a knife sharpener, police said. Officials with Polk County Schools said that extra police officers and guidance counselors would be at the school next week. Mind-blowing. Is it not? Now, of course, this is not the first instance. Well, let's look and see here. I wonder why children, where are children getting the idea that magic, black arts, witchcraft, that these things are okay, that these things should be, you know, practiced, that they should be explored, that the curiosity in these things are fine? Well, I'm telling you, the article just said they got it from movies. Now, I throw up Harry Potter here because this is a pretty obvious situation, but who was this geared towards? This whole series of books and movies geared toward children, right? Now, they said they were watching scary movies over the weekend. I wonder what scary movies they were watching that had to do with Satanism, devil worship, blood drinking, murder and mutilation and cannibalism. I wonder what movies they were watching. Could it be this one right here? I just found this one. It's interesting because this black coat's daughter, I can't even show you in this church service the trailer. Can you imagine what the movie does? But this is about some little girls at a school that worship the devil. In the trailer, it says they worship the devil and they start hacking people up in their school. This is a movie. This is a horror movie. Right? This is mind-blowing. But it gets worse. It's not just the movies. It's not just Satanism and witchcraft that's pushed in every kid's show across the board. But I could not believe a few weeks ago when I saw this come across Facebook that now they're having drag queen story time in schools and libraries, and just had one a few weeks ago, August, in Columbus, Georgia, in the public library, Drag Queen Storytime for Kids. And this one right here says the Drag Queen Story Hour is just what it sounds like. Drag queens reading stories to children in libraries, schools, and bookstores. And the Drag Queen Story Hour captures the imagination and play of gender fluidity of childhood. Gender fluidity? Gender fluidity. I'm going to deal with that in just a second here. What does a child know at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old of gender fluidity? They don't know anything but when some twisted adult has put in their head. Or some demon, because they've been around demon-possessed people. Well, here in the Christian Post, Texas judge rejects Christian's lawsuit against the Drag Queen Story Hour in Texas. I thought that was part of the Bible Belt. I want you to look at these hideous creatures. For a second, let's move back here. What is this? Horned figure of a man dressed up like a woman, but also like some version of Baphomet with horns? This is a mixture of the occult, of Satanism, devil worship, and homosexuality and perversion. What parent would let your something looking like that read to your children? You're sick in the head. These children have nightmares of this freak. This is what we've come to. Look at this right here. Look at this little child. How old is she? 4 years old? 3, 5? This is evil. There's a Deuteronomy 22:5 here. Listen to this. God's already explained how he feels about men dressing up like women. Here's what he said. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. An abomination. Do you know what that means? That means it's so foul, it's so horrible, it's so detestable that God hates it with a holy passion. He doesn't just like it because it's sin. He really hates it. So he says just a man dressing up like a woman, just a woman dressing up like a man is an abomination to him. You want to think about where we are. Is there any coincidence that we have everything being pushed now upon our kids that's satanic? Satanic. You know, Shade Stone and his wife Lucy, that were here with their two girls that led worship at our conference and led worship here in church. They live in Canada. They just, you know, they took their kids out of the public school system in Canada, which is extremely frowned upon in Canada. I mean, you're looked at like a total freak in Canada if you dare take your kids out of the public school system. But they took their kids out because This stuff, this agenda here, this perverted, homosexual, transgender, this whole agenda was being pushed so strong that they have a curriculum that's teaching the sex acts that they do to kids 7 years old. And when Shade and Lucy weren't even saved, they weren't even following the Lord. They were like, is no one disturbed by this? They weren't even saved at the time. They were not born-again Christians. They were just like, what are we doing? Think about it. If anybody in public handed your kids a pornographic magazine that depicted sexual acts, homosexual sex acts, we could have them arrested and put in jail. But now it's coming up in the curriculum of the schools. Not just in Canada, but here in America. And let me say this. If you send your kids off to these people, you don't know what they're teaching them. nor do you know what the teacher's saying to them when you're not there for 8 hours a day. We are way beyond now even taking a chance. Let's keep going with this. Here's another picture for you. How in anybody's mind can this be looked at as normal and not child abuse? Now, I want you to think, this is how wicked the world has become. This is how wicked. Remember Isaiah said they're going to call good evil and evil good, right? This is how wicked it is. Now, if you say you believe what the Bible says about creation, if you believe the Bible about biblical cosmology, flat earth, enclosed system, you believe in biblical cosmology, you're crazy, you're abusing your kids, and your kids should probably be taken away from you because you don't agree with everybody else. But then this is okay. Drag queen story time with perverted men dressing up like women who don't know what their private parts are supposed to be for, with children sitting, that's okay. The world says, that's okay. No, it's not okay. Not any aspect of it, not even any part of it. This is another thing. The Lord gave me a word about San Francisco. It's going to be destroyed completely because it's overrun with this. What parents would put their children in the laps of these perverts? Oh, here's another. The reason I got this picture, because look at the two suits beside the transvestite, gay, lesbian. That's a city councilman. Just so you're sure, I didn't even have time to look, but it says photo courtesy of Councilman Daniel Drum. I don't know what city this is. What is Jackson Heights? Where is that? Anybody know? I just saw the picture. I'm like, well, what's the two suits? But the city councilman. So here you see not just the school, but now you got the politicians pushing it. Let me tell you, putting this perverted abomination crap in kids' heads that this is somehow normal and okay, Queens, New York. No. This is what Jesus was talking about, causing the little ones to stumble. You're putting this crap in their heads. Now, let's everybody look at Zephaniah. You can take your Bibles out and look at Zephaniah, because I'm going to be unapologetic this morning. I got an email. It wasn't a bad email. It's from a fellow believer. Was saying, you know, I wish you would address the LGBT and how we're supposed to deal with it. Let me tell you how we deal with it. Call it what it is. Wickedness. Evil. Satanic. Perverted. Apart from natural affection. I want to read this right here. We're going to read this passage here. Zephaniah 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. The Lord said, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea. And notice what he said here. And the stumbling blocks with the wicked. Why does he say the stumbling blocks with the wicked? We'll get to that in a second. But he's going to consume, destroy the stumbling blocks with the wicked. Notice he says the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea. You remember since about 2010, have y'all managed to keep up with the mass die-off of fish and birds just out of nowhere? That's a warning coming to mankind. But he's going to also consume the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord, and I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal, Baal was a demon god. It was another name for Satan. Baal, Beelzebub. It's another name for the devil. I'm going to cut these people off, the remnant of Baal, and the name of the Cherubims with their priests that worship the host of heaven, that worship the stars and the alleged planets upon the housetops, and them that worship. Now listen to this. They worship them that worship and swear by the Lord and swear by another god. Oh, that's the Christian compromisers. That's the ones that say, oh, Jesus is my Lord, Yahweh is my God, but then they're still okay with gay and lesbian agenda. Let's keep going. It goes on, verse 6. He says, and them that are turned back from the Lord, that's the backsliders, the lukewarm Christians, the ones that have fallen away. And those that have not sought the Lord or inquired him, those that have quit praying and fasting and seeking the Lord and his holiness and his righteousness. Verse 7 says, hold thy peace in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guest. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Remember that. All that are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap upon the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be a noise from the cry of the fish gate and a howling from the second and a great crashing from the hills. This is specifically talking about the end times when God begins to pour out his wrath and judgment upon the world because of this wickedness. But he says, on all such as clothed with strange apparel. Isn't that interesting? Let's look up the word strange here. Apparel. Strange apparel. Foreign. Foreign woman. A harlot. I like this. Strange woman. Outlandish. The Strong's definition, Hebrew dictionary, says strange in a variety of degrees and applications. Foreign. Non-relative. Adulterous. Different. Alien. Again, outlandish. Do you think the drag queens look a little outlandish? No, this is not an accident. Now look at this. This is just from a few days ago, October 21st, 2018. Young Catholics urged Vatican to issue inclusive LGBT message. I've never seen anything like it right now. It's not just a push within the Catholic Church. Really, the Pope's already gone there, you guys. He's already put his stamp of approval okay on homosexuality. But we're seeing it in Methodist churches, in Presbyterian churches, and Lutheran churches, and definitely Episcopal churches. Episcopals have been gone a long time ago. See, what this is, let me tell you something. This issue is a test. Oh, but Pastor Dean, we should love them. I'm not saying we shouldn't love them. But we should never, ever, ever make out like it's okay. Like it's not a big deal. No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. This is not a game. God's already revealed how he feels about this. Lot's day here. Luke 17. In fact, I want everybody to turn there because I want to read it. Luke 17, 28 and 30, Jesus said this, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed or when the Son of Man comes. Talking about when his second coming, the days of Lot. That's very interesting. Everybody turn there to Luke 17. And Kevin, you don't have to put this scripture up since it's up there, but I just want to read this in its context here. There's a lot of people out there saying that Jesus did not say anything about homosexuality, so therefore it's okay. No, actually, he did allude to it several times because he alluded to the judgment God brought on Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'll address that in a second. But let's just be clear right now. The New Testament does address it, and the word fornication in the New Testament. The word fornication is the word pornea, okay? And it is an all-inclusive word of all unlawful sexual sin. That would be, it would include premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, all your sexual immoral stuff. All right? So first of all, if God only used that word, it would be enough. All right? Now, he did get more specific, as we'll see in a minute. But I want you to see this here where Jesus said this, and this is Luke 17. And he's talking about his second coming. He's talking about being as the days of Noah. And then verse 28, we'll read 28 through 30. He says, likewise also, as it was, or like it was, in the days of Lot. Why does everybody overlook this? Like it was in the days of Lot. Not just the day. I hear everybody talking about, oh, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. Jesus also said, a sign to you of the end times is that it will be like the days of Lot. And we have the story of the days of Lot laid out in Genesis 18 and 19 very clearly what was going on there. It was so bad in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain that the men wanted to rape the male angels that came into, the male appearing angels that came into Lot's situation. They were wicked. The Bible says they were wicked. They were so wicked that God himself said, you know what? I'm stepping down from heaven just to witness this in person before I completely annihilate these wicked people. Luke 17. Verse 20, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus here, this is in the red writing in my Luke's Gospel of my Bible. Jesus is directly referring to the wrath of God and the judgment of God upon a perverted, homosexual, and I believe pedophile problem going on in the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities. And for those of you out there who think this is a fairy tale, they found the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they found interesting things there because brimstone is sulfur. And it's the only place in the world where these sulfur balls are there that are 95% pure. Nowhere else in the world can you find that kind of that pure of sulfur. God did something special for Sodom and Gomorrah because of this. And we're going to look at this a little deeper here. But let me show you. I want to show you this, the cry of Sodom. This is something you need to mark down and keep up and understand. Because it doesn't just say for the sins of Sodom. It says for the cry of Sodom. And I want to show you what that is. This is Genesis 18, 20 here. And we're just going to read 20 through 22. It says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men, there were two angels with the Lord with him. It says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. The Lord himself stepped down from heaven with two angels and said, We're about to deal with this problem. That's pretty strong. Well, guess what? There's going to be another coming. He's about to step down from heaven. It's called the second coming. And it says the world will know. They will be crying out, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sits upon the throne. Hide us from him. Why? Because they know the wickedness they're doing. They know what they're doing to kids, even if they're just putting this junk in their minds and their heads. They're trying to sexualize these kids in hopes they can get these kids into sexual sin when they're young because they're a bunch of perverts. It's all about sex, 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 their lust, their lust, their lust. and power from the devil. That's what they want. That's why all this is going on. But notice he says here the cry of Sodom. Let me show you something. The word cry here in the Hebrew can mean a cry of distress. So here in the Strong's, a shriek, an outcry, a cry of distress. Now why would militant, perverted homosexuals be crying in distress? They're not the ones crying in distress. It was the children living in Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities crying in distress. Say, Pastor Dean, now are you saying all homosexuals are pedophiles? No, but a lot of them are. A lot of them, be honest with you, they don't care what they get with. And I'm trying to be sensitive in here because we have kids in here, but that's just a fact. They're that sick in their minds and in their head. They're so full of demons and evil. And this is not a game. Listen, all of us, I'm not saying that we're somehow better. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's a lie in the church that all sin is the same to God. And don't tell me that because the Bible does not teach that. Show me one verse that says it, that all sin is the same to God. It doesn't say that anywhere in your Bible, not one place. In fact, the Bible says there are sins unto death and there are sins not unto death in 1 John 5. And God says there's some sins that he hates and there's some sins that he really hates. And don't tell me there's not a difference between saying going out and having one too many beers versus molesting a kid. Don't tell me there's not a difference between saying telling a white lie and going out and cheating on your wife. There is a difference, and that's why the New Testament spells out if you practice certain sins, you will die in your sins, and you will be damned to hell forever for practicing that sin. This is not a game. Preachers don't preach on this anymore, but this is Bible. There is eternal punishment for persistent, willful wickedness and evil. And a man with a man and a woman with a woman is wickedness and evil. And anybody that has a hold of, I'm telling you, it's pulling on the darkest side of your flesh nature. I mean, it just makes me sick. I don't know how many of you have seen the videos of Joe Biden when he was still vice president, pawing on those little girls and whispering in their ears how they were turning him on, 11 and 12 years old. This is the sickos. You think that's normal? In anybody's mind, is that normal? See, this is why I know there is hell, fire, and eternal punishment. This is one way I know for sure. It's funny, I was at Auburn University. You guys can go back. The video is still on YouTube, but the part's not there. But I was preaching in 2009 on the campus of Auburn University, and I'd preached for a while. We had a little crowd gather up, and then later on somebody went and told the homosexuals that there was a preacher out there. So a group of homosexuals, well, one of the homosexual professors came out to confront me. And, of course, they're arguing back and forth, da-da-da-da-da, trying to justify their sin the whole time and trying to quote Bible scriptures about Jesus talking about we should love each other. And I said, well, you know, the same Bible you're quoting about Jesus saying love each other, he said homosexuality is an abomination and will damn you to eternal hell. I said, I'm not picking on you. It's the same. I don't care if it's a heterosexual and fornication or adultery or whatever. I said, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're okay living in homosexual, perverted sexual sin and that you're going to be all right. And so a lot of them say, oh, there's nobody going to hell. There's no hell. I said, but see, I know something. I know most homosexuals, not all, so don't misquote me, but most were molested when they were kids. By somebody, a neighbor, a family member, whatever. They had something happen. And so I said, well, wait a minute. So y'all saying y'all believe in hell, y'all believe Jesus, what he said about love, but y'all don't believe what he said about hell. And I said, so Hitler's going to hell. Oh, yeah, Hitler. I mean, no, I said Hitler. So Hitler's going to heaven in your book, right? He said, oh, yeah, Hitler will be in heaven. He just won't get as many rewards. I said, so let me ask you a question. I said, so. What about a guy that molests kids? And then let me tell you, half of them immediately turn, oh, no, no, they're going to hell for sure. I said, whoa, wait a minute now. Y'all didn't believe in hell a minute ago. I start talking about somebody molesting kids. Oh, yeah, they're going to hell. I said, see, you have your own standard of righteousness and judgment, but God has his. Got pretty quiet after that. Y'all kind of drifted off into the back into the university. But I told them, what's the remedy? The remedy we all need, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The remedy we all need is that Jesus went and died for our sins, my sins and the homosexual sin. So see, that's the love. That's the good news. But see, you got to be willing, just like me, when I was a fornicator and a drunkard and a drug addict and everything else, when I was living in that world of sexual immorality and drunkenness, I finally understood the gospel. Jesus loved me, but I had to be willing to love him back enough to turn from my sin and quit being a practitioner of evil and become a disciple. And all I had to do was ask him to forgive me of my sins and be willing to quit doing them and walk another way. And he washed me clean and received me without, and it said washed it away and threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. So the homosexual can be saved. The drag queen can be saved. But not, it's not automatic. It's not God loves everybody and homosexuality is okay and the drag queens and the perverts are all going to go to heaven and we're all going to sing Kumbaya. That's not the way it's going to work. All. In fact, now let's go to the scripture. I want you to go with me to the book of Jude, the book right before the book of Revelation. So I'm a little fired up this morning. The book of Jude. See, this will probably get me in Facebook jail and YouTube trouble and everything else, but I don't care. They're a bunch of homos anyway. See, and let me say this. There's two kinds of homosexuals, too. There's the kind that are still under conviction and their conscience is still dealing with them and they know it's wrong, but they feel trapped and then they have some wrong beliefs and they just feel like they're trapped in it. But then you've got the ones that are just, they've been going at it so long and they've been going at it so hard against God and blaspheming God. They've moved over to Romans 1 says, into that place of being a reprobate where God's finally said, I'm done with you, go ahead. That's why you can talk to some of them and the other ones you can't. You have to determine what kind you're talking to. Jude says this here. Verse 7. If this is not as clear as a bell, I don't know what is. This is the half-brother of Jesus. So this is one of Jesus' brothers that grew up in the house with him. He says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Can I ask a question? How do you suffer the vengeance of eternal fire if you are annihilated and cease to exist? I don't know. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Do you think the apostles dealt with this? Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus tells us where the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. The only hope for me, for you, for the homosexual is to finally say, I admit my sin is wickedness and evil before God. But if Christians run around telling them it's okay, God understands. They can't even come to the place where they recognize it is wickedness, it is an abomination, it is evil. It will separate me from God and from heaven and from eternal life forever. You can't give somebody the cure for something if they're not convinced they have the disease. And this is the problem with the American church and the Western church. We don't want to explain to them that they have the disease. And so when we give the cure, the blood of Jesus can wash you, cleanse you, help you, deliver you. They don't want that because they got other Christians saying, no, you're okay. God loves everybody. See, that's a lie because it's taken out of context. Love has nothing to do with it. There's people God loves that are in hell right now and been in hell for thousands of years, and God loved them and tried to keep them from going there. Like I said, you end up in the place of who you follow. You follow the evil, pervert, murderer, sexual deviant called Satan, Baphomet, Baal, whatever, how you want to pronounce it. You follow him, you live like him, you will end up living with him forever. You turn from your sin, ask Jesus to forgive you and wash you and cleanse you and start walking with him, you're going to end up living with him. This is not complicated. You will reside with the one you follow. And make no doubt about it, if you're a fornicator, an adulterer, a drunkard, a homosexual, a pedophile, if you're a pervert, a sexual lust-filled sinner, and you keep living in that as a lifestyle, you will be with the wicked one in your eternity, in hellfire, suffering the vengeance of eternal damnation. Forever and ever, the smoke of your torment will rise. This is not a game. God hates wickedness. He hates sin. He loves you, but he will not let you in unless you're willing to give up your sin. I tell you to turn, or did I?
Matthew 11.
Here's what Jesus said. We just went over this in our school of ministry class the other day. The doctrine of repentance. Verse 20 through 24. Jesus did some mighty signs and wonders in these towns of Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum. He caused the blind to see and the dead to be raised from the dead and the crippled to walk. But it says, then began he, that is Jesus, to upbraid, rebuke, basically to scold the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. The word repent means to change your mind and your actions, to reform the course of your life. And Jesus was saying, I went to these cities, and they saw great signs and wonders, and they heard my preaching, and they saw the cripple walk, and the blind see, and the deaf hear, and every disease and leprosy disappear. And they heard what I said about righteousness, about repentance, about turning from sin, and they did not turn from sin. They did not repent. They didn't change the way they think about sin, and they didn't change their lives to follow me, to leave that behind and to follow me. So Jesus says here, woe unto thee, Chorazin, verse 21, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works were done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in thee would have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now, we just read where Sodom is suffering the vengeance of eternal fire forever. It's not going to change. And Jesus is saying these cities where I did signs and wonders, and I preached the gospel, and I said, repent and believe the gospel. Because that was the first words out of Jesus' mouth. Repent of your sin, believe the gospel. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That means he's called sinners to quit sinning, to quit living a lifestyle of wickedness and evil. That's what repentance means. He came to call sinners to repentance. That's what will save you. That's what will lead you to salvation. You can't just say, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to keep being a homosexual. No. You must repent for the remission and the washing away and the forgiveness of your sins. You must truly repent. Any sin you still practice, you haven't repented of. He says it's going to be worse for those cities in hell. He tells Capernaum, a whole city, you're going to be brought down to hell. He wasn't talking to the buildings. He's talking to the people that made up that city. You're going to be brought down to hell. And in the day of judgment, when the dead, the wicked dead, stand before me, on the day that we're all the wicked are going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. See, hell's going to be worse for some than it is for others. There's degrees of punishment in hell. Oh, God will be just and he will be fair. But I can tell you this. I don't want any part of hell. I don't want the outer darkness. I don't want the beatings it talks about. I don't want the worm that never dies. I don't want the fire that can never be quenched. I don't want any part of it. I don't want to live with the tormentors. But to me, you know what the nightmare of hell is going to be? It's not going to be the flame. It's not going to be the worms. It's not going to be the darkness. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be the fact that there is no hope there. Right now, we can go through the darkest period of our life. But deep down, there's hope. It can change. Things can change. But to me, the worst torment of hell will be no hope. No hope of ever feeling the peace and the love and the joy and the presence of our Creator, our God. Being separated from Him forever and ever because we chose to be wicked and evil and to practice wicked and evil. And the Bible is very clear that hell will be worse for the people who knew the Lord, Jesus, and turned away. Let's turn to that verse. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Because we got a lot of Christians out here think they're once saved, always saved. And they're still in fornication. Fornication, y'all. Premarital, you're not married and you're having sex. Throw it out for you. There's people out here, Christians, still drinking all the time, getting drunk all the time. Drunkards do not inherit the kingdom of God, period. End of discussion. Homosexuality falls in this. You cannot be practicing. Now listen to what he says. Because we just saw, what's the Christian singer? This one on Ellen? Dangle? Dagle? Now think about this. Ellen just, she had another Christian scheduled to be on her show, but found out that Christian stood against homosexuality, said it was sin, said it was wrong. So she canceled that Christian, but she had this other one still came on. So what does that take? Right? These Christians that are causing people to stumble. But Charles Finney, the great evangelist of the 1800s, he said this. He has a whole chapter on it in his book, Revival Lectures. He was a great evangelist, great soul winner. And he said that Christians, one of the Christians' worst things they can do to a sinner that's under conviction is to give them false comfort or false hope. You tell someone who's living in wickedness and sin habitually, a lifestyle of it. You tell them they're okay, God loves them just the way they are. Let me tell you what you are. You're a stumbling block. You're not helping them. Say, well, Pastor Dean, sounds mean to tell them that they're going to be separated from God, that they're wickedness, that they actually have to stop wickedness. Let me ask you this. What do you think Jesus would tell them? He just scolded three cities because they wouldn't repent. Not because they wouldn't believe in him. Because they wouldn't repent. There's a difference. You folks, you better get this down. There's a difference between believing and repenting. Like people say, talk is cheap. Let me see what you do. If you really believe in Jesus and believe his word is true, you will repent. But you can say it all day long, I believe in Jesus. But if you don't repent, no, you don't. And that's what the Bible talks about in James, the difference between dead faith and living faith. How many of you know you can have dead faith? Faith, Paul, James said, faith without works, corresponding actions, is dead. You can have faith that is dead. But if you have real faith in Jesus Christ and his word, and you truly have the fear of God in you, you will repent. You will confess your sins and leave it. Even my daughter, Faith, I heard the other day. She said, admit it and quit it. That's it. That's repentance. Admit it and quit it. 2 Peter, let's read it, verse 20. This is as crystal clear as it gets for believers who fall away and go back to the world or love the world or compromise with the world. Listen to this. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it has been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow or the pig that was washed to wallowing in the mire. Can it be any clearer? For if after, look at verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only way to escape the pollutions of the world, the only way to be cleansed from the pollutions, the uncleanness, the wickedness, the evil, the taint of sin, is to have confessed your sin to Jesus and repented of that sin, and his blood has washed you away and you've been forgiven. So he says it there. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, meaning they go back. They don't just fall. They don't just stumble as a new believer. No, they go back and they get wrapped up and tied up and tangled back up in that sin and that lifestyle. And then that lifestyle and Satan in the flesh overcomes them, and they live in that, and then they end up dying in that. Well, tell me you can't fall away from God and be lost. Yes, you can. You've been deceived by Calvin, by John Calvin's lie, who is a murderer. Man had people burned to death because they didn't agree with his Calvinist theology. And we still got people that follow him and put him up on some kind of pedestal. And that's where they get these doctrines of eternal security of once saved, always saved from. That's not what the Bible teaches. And it's dangerous. It's damnable. It's another stumbling block in the body of Christ. But I'm here to warn you today. He says it's better for you to not have known. Think about that. What people who don't know Jesus, who reject Jesus, who refuse to believe the gospel, who refuse to repent, who never believe, who are never saved, where are they headed? According to the Bible, if you are not born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. That means you are separated from God in eternal damnation. So he's saying, it would have been better for you not to have known God at all than to know him and turn from it. The only deduction, the only thing you can get from that is hell is going to be worse. For those who once knew Jesus Christ, walked with him, had been cleansed by him, and turned around and gone back into that life. And let me tell you right now, 1 Timothy 4:1, we're in the last days, and people are departing from the faith. And one of the ways they're departing from the faith is they're starting to say, you know what, being gay is okay. Feeding this crap to our kids. Satanic movies of witchcraft and the occult and blood drinking and everything. That's okay. It's just fantasy. It's just entertainment. Let me tell you, what entertainment those two little girls. And I don't know about y'all, but I know this. 11 and 12-year-olds, are really at the point of knowing better. We're not talking about a 5-year-old. We're talking about an 11 and 12-year-old who went to their kitchen and got knives to go cut up their fellow students because they wanted to be Satan and make sure that they were with Satan in hell. Here's what I'm saying. The world is feeding this crap, this evil, this darkness to everyone. But how dare we, as Christians, feed on it and let our children feed on it? Now, let me tell you, there's going to be some parents, you hear me, who think they're going to make it to heaven. And when they stand before Jesus, because all their children ended up going to hell because they were stumbling blocks. Don't tell me, Pastor, I want my teenager to live right. I want them to know God and to go to heaven. Well, where are you? Where are you living? Are you an example to them? You better be sure you're the best example you can be. And if they still want to choose to go to hell, it won't be because you were a stumbling block to them. Stumbling blocks. Let's go back. Can we put that back up there? Put back up if you can. Just put on Zephaniah chapter 1. I just want that verse back up there before we close. It's only like 3 after 12, 4 after 12. I'm rocking it out this morning. But this is where he says here, he's going to destroy. Yeah, I guess I can put it back up here, can I? You doing it or me? Huh? Okay, there it is. There we go. Let's see. Yeah, we got to back up. We got to just back up one. Here we go. There we go. Zephaniah 1:3. The Lord says, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. I'll tell you something. That's two different people, isn't it? The stumbling blocks with the wicked. We got the wicked. And we got the stumbling blocks. And then we have the righteous. Which one are you? The only way to be righteous is to be in Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, repenting, living for Him. And the blood of Jesus will keep you cleansed and righteous. But the Christians and the people and the teachers and the city councilmen and the school boards and the politicians and the parents that are stumbling blocks to the little ones are going to go to the same place the wicked go. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee and just get right with God, and enough's enough. All they're teaching these kids in these public schools is homosexuality is okay, being a transvestite's okay. Oh, if you don't know whether you're a boy or a girl, that's okay. We got you. We can have a surgery later, and we can change the way God made you. And drugs are okay. We're gonna legalize marijuana. That's okay. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with getting involved in a little witchcraft on the side, you know, watching all these movies. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, why should 11 and 12-year-old kids think anything's wrong with hacking up students, their fellow students, when American women and abortionists are hacking up millions every year of little babies, hacking them to pieces, selling their body parts? Like a bunch of freaks. we live in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And God help us. Remember this about Lot. If you go back and you read 2 Peter, earlier part of chapter 2, you see that Lot was says, actually in 2 Peter 2, 7, it says that, and 8, go ahead and put that up. It says that, let's verse 6. It says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So Sodom and Gomorrah is an example. If you want to be a fornicator, an adulterer, a homosexual, a pervert, if you want to disregard God's commands on sexual immorality, so Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to you of what's going to happen. And notice what he says, verse 7, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation and behavior of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Anybody ever felt vexed living in this society? Why? Because they put it in our faces. I mean, these gay pride parades where, you know, men walk down the street without clothes on in front of children. How is that somehow pride? To me, that's child abuse. To me, you should go to jail. I mean, Stephen, you were a police officer. If some dude's walking down the street with no clothes on, what do y'all do? Arrest him. Exactly. But no, we let it happen in major cities all across America. Oh yeah, Robbie Davidson's new. Well, it's not. It's a few months old, but he's got a great video. What's it called? Persecuted or something like that. But about he's a short documentary on how crazy homosexuals are getting at attacking Christians physically. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, you might as well get ready for it to get more real in America in the days ahead. Because I want you to look. I want you to look right now. The crazy left-wing, pro-homo, homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-socialism and communism people, they now have no problem getting violent. They have no problem now. You can see that spirit of violence is just stirring up its ugly head. And you think about it, this guy just went into this synagogue and shot up a bunch of people. Why? Because he's sitting there hating all Jews are the problem. That's why, you know, anybody that's ever come on my page with that all Jews are the problem and all Jews are evil and bad, they get banned immediately. You start slapping a stigma on a group of people that they're all a certain way, that's the definition of racism. But is it any wonder? People are getting crazy. You can see it, this level of violence. I mean, I got this crazy dude right now, this crazy dude that's been harassing me for about 6 months. Crazy. And I mean mental case, demon possessed, claims to be a Christian. Huh? I don't know what he is, really. He may be. But what I'm getting at is this dude is so crazy. He's threatened. I captured his video where he threatens Nathan Roberts. And then he threatened to come to our church here and get in my face, which would be a bad decision for him. Okay? Very bad. Well, of course, I let him know if he shows up at our church, he will be escorted out and the police will be called. But this is the level of crazy. And then, since I call him and on his threatening and say, I'm going to turn this over to the local police department, then he goes lunatic on us. And now he claims he's going to be suing me on a video that I didn't even make. But this is what I'm talking about. This guy claims to be a Christian, but he's demon-possessed. He's mentally unstable. I can see people like this showing up to a church to do violence. You say, oh, it can't happen. Well, it just happened in that synagogue. It happened in a church in Texas. Oh, yes, it can happen. And they're not all everybody that wants to make everything a conspiracy. They're not everyone a conspiracy. There are demon-possessed, crazy people that actually pick up guns and go shoot people and pick up knives and go stab people. And Democrats that send phony bombs to themselves. Just in time for the election, exactly. And that's another thing, you guys, let me tell you. It's about to get real. They are not going to allow Trump to continue to succeed and implement what he's doing. 2019, 2020. And especially, let me just go and tell you, if the Democrats, by all this hook and crook, don't some way win the House and the Senate back, if they do, it's going to be all hell's going to break loose. If they don't, they're going to get more desperate and all hell's going to break loose because they're going to lose their minds. And that's why I know that these globalists, these Satanists, these people that these left-wing socialists, globalists, one world, UN, kumbaya, devil-worshipping, homosexual, abortion perverts and murderers, I know they're not going to let things go much longer. So you might as well buckle up and get ready to stand your ground. Amen. I will not, and what I mean, I'm not advocating violence by any means. I will protect my wife and child by any means necessary. But I want to tell you right now, I will not shut up, back up, be silent, or water it down. No matter how wicked and evil it gets. And you got to make up your mind about that. Because some of us will end up giving our lives because we won't shut up. It'll be over our beliefs. I mean, think about it. I got this psycho just because he doesn't agree with me on biblical cosmology. He's been harassing me and threatening people I know and basically threatening me too over a belief. Over a Bible belief, because I haven't spit on him, I haven't cussed him, I haven't hurt him or his family in any way. Most of the time, I don't even answer his stupid emails. But this guy he is psychotic over a belief. You say, well, that doesn't even make sense. Well, guess what? Look at how many millions of Christians died in Russia and China simply because they held a different belief, a belief in Jesus, and the government didn't want that. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Still didn't go to 12:30, so I did good. Let's sing our song again before we go. That last one we did. Because I think this is what Christians need to remember. Jesus said that if we love him, we will take up our cross and we will follow it. I like what Leonard Ravenhill said years ago. He said this. He said, a man carrying a cross, one thing you knew about him, if he was carrying a cross, he wasn't coming back. The man or the woman that's decided to take up their cross and follow Jesus means they decided, I'm going all the way with this thing. If it's my death, if it's everything, if I lose everything, I will not back down from the truth of God's word on anything.
Our shame, we're still breathing. Not our will, but yours be done.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is true. And Lord, there are things that are still evil and wickedness, and you haven't changed your mind about them. But we're grateful today, Lord God, that you give us the opportunity to admit when we have wickedness and sin and evil in our lives, to confess it, to ask forgiveness, to receive the cleansing blood of Jesus to wash it away, and then the power to overcome it, to repent and walk away. I pray, Lord, that anybody here today, anybody watching or listening, that they understood, they heard that clear message that we must repent. We must turn from sin to be forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus. It is absolutely essential. I ask you, Lord, to bless, draw, convict, save people today. And begin the deliverance process of delivering them from the demons of perversion, deception and error. Lord, we pray it all today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
For I am the Lord thy God. I say to you this day that any man who boweth his knee and calleth for me, I will bring into me. And I say it to you this day that any man, any woman, any child who brings their hand against my people will see my wrath. My anger is mighty and my wrath is at the door. The world keeps knocking. It will soon be open. Let's say it to the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? All right, then. Well, hug some necks before you leave.
Oh.
Okay. All right. God bless you guys.